You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II with the Ralph Winterroad Show. And coming to you live out of Alaska. And I've got a guest, I think, that's going to be calling in here. David Haig out of Kenai. I don't see that he has called in yet. Not sure. I'm sorry? Okay. Well, I'll give him a call there and see what's going on here. He has been really run through the hoop for the last, I think it's 13 years. They've confiscated his airplane and got him for shooting wolves supposedly out of his area. And he's taken on the Alaska Bar. And I don't know. It's just you can't make this stuff up for what they've done here. Not sure why he's not called in. I just talked to him. He was going to be calling in here. Maybe I give him the wrong number. Let me call him here again and see if he's why he is not called in here, because I wanted him to do the first hour because he's going to be leaving. So yeah, are you going to call in? Yeah, please call in now. We're waiting on you. No. Okay. I don't know. I guess your time could get on something else here. Anyway, he'll be calling in a minute. And he was in court. We went in, and they got him down and tasered him just big time in the court. They we're having a hearing, and he was wanting to talk about something else, and the judge got up and left, and the next thing you know, they got him down and tasered him, and they've took him off to jail, and they don't even have a statute to charge him with yet. They're just abusing him big time. Okay. Are you there, David?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, why don't you give us just a brief background of who you are and what you did, and then tell us what kind of issues you're having with the great state of Alaska and the court system.
Okay, well, like I said, my name is David Hegg, and I'm a master big game guide and commercial pilot. Had a air charter business and whatnot, but anyway, and I'm married, have two beautiful daughters and a beautiful wife. And anyway, in 2004, the state of Alaska wanted to conduct a reduction in wolf numbers here in Alaska to boost game populations for, you know, people that needed the meat to feed their families and whatnot. And so back in 2004, the state approached me and said that you're one of the best hunters and pilots in the state and that we need your help to kill wolves. They ended up giving me a permit to shoot wolves from the air and told me where to go shoot them. And I went out and did that, started killing wolves for them. Well, I was then prosecuted for killing the wolves where they told me to. And where the issue came about is where the state agents that told me to kill them, where they told me had not yet been opened up for the program. And it was, you know, it came out that where the program was open, the wolves had killed all the game there and had moved on, and the program was not being effective. So the game manager or the people running it just told the, you know, those of us killing the wolves to shoot them where we could find them. And so I was prosecuted. The state troopers came here to my hangar and house and seized it, you know, took my airplane, searched our house. And to do so, they said that I was killing them in my guide area. And my guide area, you know, is a limited area in Alaska. And then where the, and it basically is Game Management Unit 19C, where I guide. The wolf control program was taking place in part of 19D. And where we had killed the wolves was in 19D, but not in, you know, the open area there. We were killing them where the game management people had told us to kill them. Well, when they seized everything, all the warrants said that they had killed them in my guide area. And I talked to our business attorney, and we ended up hiring a criminal defense attorney. And he said that we couldn't bring up that we were killing them where the state officials told us to, that that wasn't a legal defense. And that didn't seem right, but we just kept, you know, motoring through the issues. Anyway, that same attorney said I had to plea out, you know, that we couldn't bring up, you know, that the state told us this and that we had to go in and talk to the prosecutor and trooper that was prosecuting us. So I did. And then we made a plea deal where I would give up guiding for a year and didn't require the airplane being given up or anything. And so we gave up guiding prior to it being presented to the court because they were still talking about, you know, when everybody could get together to be in front of the judge. And my guide season was coming up. And so I didn't get caught in the position of having clients coming to Alaska from, you know, all parts of the world. You know, a lot of our clients came from Germany and Austria and, you know, Australia, you know, and, you know, a lot from the lower U.S. also. We canceled our season. And after the season was passed, you know, we generally do most of the guiding in the fall, and we, you know, made this agreement like in June and July, so we didn't guide, you know, August, September, October. Well, in November, when we're going to finalize the deal, the prosecutor changed the charges that he'd already filed so that they would require, minimum, that my guide license be given up for 1 year. But the deal that we'd made was that I'd only give it up for 1 year. And he said he'll change it back if I agreed to give him my airplane. And I asked my attorney, I'm like, how can my wife and I basically nearly bankrupt ourselves by giving up a year of guiding for a plea deal on something, you know, that I'd been told to do anyway, but I understood that, you know, if the game management unit guy was wrong and where he told us to, you know, whose fault was it? Well, it might be partly mine, it might be his, you know, but there never was a hearing on that. But anyway, what I couldn't understand is that after we'd paid for the deal, how it could be changed. Well, we ended up asking that attorney, and, you know, so that everybody kind of knows how this went, I started talking to my business attorney about what was happening, and he said something is horribly wrong, that they can't do that and that I should fire that attorney and hire another one. But before I did, I started tape recording my first attorney, you know, him telling me that we can't enforce the plea deal and that we've given up your guiding and the state would give me the minor charges if I agreed to give them an airplane. And I said no. And when that happened, I tape recorded me asking that attorney, the first attorney, if we give them the airplane, what's to stop the state from changing the charges again and asking for my house or, you know, maybe, you know, anything else? And he said, there's nothing. And so right there, I decided I was not going to plea out. I said, okay, we're going to go to trial. And so I fired that attorney, got a second attorney. He said everything that happened with the first attorney was water under the bridge and we had to start over. And that attorney, too, I asked him, like, well, what can we do with all these warrants that seized my airplane and property saying that I was killing wolves in my guide area when, in fact, we weren't? And he said, oh, there's nothing you can do about that. I said, well, what can we do about the state telling me to shoot the wolves where I did? He said, oh, there's nothing you can do about that. And he said, you have to go to trial. And he gave me you know, and this gets kind of tangled up. But anyway, he said that because the prosecutor didn't swear to the charging information, it deprived the court of subject matter jurisdiction, and that when we went to trial, I should stand mute, and he should stand mute, and we shouldn't put on any evidence, put up no defense. Let me be convicted, he said, because after trial, we'll win on appeal. Well, That seemed kind of crazy to me, so I demanded there to be a defense. And so he did a kind of a song and dance to the court and whatnot. I was convicted and sentenced. And one of the interesting things is that the trooper who had signed all the warrants to seize everything at trial, he and the prosecutor, the whole case was that because I was shooting the wolves in my guide area, I had to be charged as a big game guide hunting same-day airborne, which is like taking a client in the back of my plane, flying around and shooting moose so that the client could put trophy moose antlers on the wall instead of going around killing the wolves for the state. And see, I could have been charged under the wolf control program, which would have been like a traffic ticket because by law it was not hunting and thus couldn't affect my career and guide license. But the state maintained all along I was doing it in my guide area, and because of that, I shouldn't be charged under the permit they gave me. I should be charged as a guide. Well, at trial, the trooper testified that all the wolves were found in my guide area. And I'm telling my trial attorney that he knows that's wrong, you know, because, you know, when I had to give the interview before trial, my first attorney, I told him, I said, none of the wolves were killed in my guide area, and here's the proof. Well, the trooper still testified to that. My trial attorney didn't want to confront him, and I said, you either confront him or I will. I'll jump up there, and I'll just say, trooper, you're lying. You know it. None of them were killed in my guide area. Well, my trial attorney ended up confronting the trooper on it, and the trooper, only after he knew he was caught, he admitted none of the wolves were killed in my guide area. You know, and this is in front of my judge and jury. Trial goes on. There's nothing happened to the trooper. no instruction to the jury or anything. And then what happened is, you know, I was convicted, and at sentencing, the judge says, well, the reason I'm throwing the book at you, Mr. Haig, and taking away your, revoking your guide license, forfeiting your airplane, $20,000 fine, 2 years in jail, is because most, if not all, the wolves were killed in your guide area. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, the trooper admitted none of them were there. Even the trooper admitted none of them were killed in my guide area. Well, nothing happens. My lawyer don't say anything. I'm so scared and shocked and, you know, that I didn't say anything. One of the things that also makes this kind of disturbing to everybody up here in Alaska is my trial was held in the village of McGrath, which is a village of 300 people. And there's no judges there. The judge had to fly in from Aniak, and when the for trial, and because there's no public transportation, when she flew in to McGrath, she was picked up at the airport by the trooper, the main witness against me, the one that had falsified all the warrants, and then at trial falsified his testimony, and all this. And during my whole trial, he was, or the judge, Margaret Murphy, was chauffeured by the trooper every morning, noon, and night, because, well, the judge, she's fairly overweight, and, you know, it was about a, you know, half a mile or mile from the board, the bed and breakfast where she's staying to the courthouse. And like I said, me and my wife and our attorney, we had to walk, and we eventually ended up borrowing bicycles to go back and forth. But every day, you know, morning, noon, and night, the judge and trooper are riding around together. Well, after I started realizing that I'd been sold a bill of goods by my attorneys, I fired the second attorney, and my business attorney said, in Alaska, the attorneys have ganged up on you. And he said, I can't hire another attorney in Alaska to try to find one outside the state to help me, which my wife and I did. But when we explained everything that had happened, every law firm we called, and, you know, we were generally looking in Washington State and Oregon, so it wouldn't be so expensive to get them here, they didn't want to represent me. Well, I ended up hiring a third attorney inside the state to conduct my appeal. And because of what happened with my first attorneys, I tape recorded the third one. His name was Mark Osterman. I tape recorded him from the day I called to hire him to the day I ended up firing him. And he looked at all the evidence, and he's like, my God, it's, and I, you know, it's all tape recorded now. He says, my God, it's the biggest sellout of a client by not one attorney, but two attorneys. We're going to get your conviction overturned immediately, and we're going to sue those first two attorneys for everything they have. And this is all tape recorded. So he starts writing my appeal, you know, writing up all this stuff, that the evidence had been falsified, the warrants were false. I made a plea deal that got taken away. I never got credit for the guide year. And, you know, and there's other shit there. You know, I even, you know, I'm sorry, this is a little confusing, but at my sentencing, I told my second attorney, trial attorney, I want to subpoena the first one to sentencing and have him testify about the year of guiding we had given up before I was convicted for this plea deal that my first attorney could not enforce, said he couldn't enforce. And he also, it was also on tape, he said he could not enforce this first agreement because the state would harm him and his business if he did. And so that was when we first started getting evidence that the state was actively threatening our defense attorneys. And, you know, luckily we had that tape recorded when he said that. But anyway, at sentencing, I required my second attorney, and his name's Chuck Robinson, to force the first one to show up. So since it's out in McGrath, we have to buy an airplane ticket. So we successfully subpoena him, buy him an airplane ticket, and at sentencing, he doesn't show up. And I asked my trial attorney, I'm like, how can that be? What can we do about it? He says, there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm thinking to myself,
Hold that thought, David. This is okay. We'll be back. We're gonna pay some bills.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, well, we're back here and have David Hagan out of Kenai. That had his airplane stolen, and he's tangling with the corrupt state of Alaska, corrupt troopers, and the corrupt bar. Go ahead with this subpoena, why this attorney didn't show up.
Okay, well, I now know that they, my trial attorney could have asked that an arrest warrant be issued. But anyway, I now know why he didn't show up. Is, at the sentencing hearing, the trooper and prosecutor say, on the record, hey, we heard that Mr. Haig, gave up guiding, but we have no idea why. Yet we have, tape recordings of my first attorney telling us that he talked to the prosecutor and the prosecutor agreed to give me credit for this year. Well, because that year of guiding had been given for an agreement that contained minor charges, it meant that by constitution, or by constitutional law, my wife and I had given up our livelihood because I had a guide license in my pocket when we stopped guiding. And what, the case law says is that if you rely on an agreement, up until you rely on a plea agreement, the state can change it or scuttle it. But as soon as you rely on it, the case law says that it's like a commercial contract. It must be enforced, and it's like a commercial contract except one better. The U.S. Constitution backs it up because you have given up, constitutional rights, usually in reliance on it, the right against self-incrimination or the right to, put food in your family's mouth. Well, so that's why that we never, that attorney never showed up. And we now, you know that. But so anyway, you know, we, you know, I ended up firing my third attorney, you know, who, like I said, had first stated that we should sue the first two for everything and my conviction be overturned. But we tape recorded him saying, before I fired him, he switched 180 degrees. All of a sudden, he says, I can't use any of this that your first attorney and second attorney didn't bring up, that the, you know, the evidence had been falsified and that, you know, you'd made a plea agreement that they screwed you out of. He said, because I can't do anything that'll affect the livelihoods of your first two attorneys. And I, you know, he's also tape recorded stating that if we proved ineffective assistance of counsel against the first two attorneys, that that is the equivalent of proving malpractice. And so what we believe, and we don't, you know, I don't have any hard evidence of it, is that my third attorney had pressure put on him to cover up what the first two attorneys had done to basically allow the state to prosecute me illegally. Well, as we're going along, two main things happened here that I want to make sure everybody hears about. The first thing is that we filed a complaint against my trial judge for riding around with the trooper during my trial when the trooper is the main witness against me. That investigation went to a lady named Marla Greenstein, who here in Alaska for the past 28 years has been the only investigator of Alaskan judges, period. Marla Greenstein says, hey, give me a list of witnesses. So I gave her a list of witnesses to the chauffeuring. About a year later, I contact Marla, and luckily I tape record her. And while I'm tape recording her, she says she contacted every witness that I gave her. None of them seen the chauffeuring, and that the trooper and judge were exonerated. And she also said that she contacted the trooper and judge, and they denied, you know, that any chauffeuring took place. Well, as my appeals moving forward, I filed for post-conviction relief, which is what you have to do to complain about things that weren't brought up during the trial, like the judge and trooper riding around together. The state of Alaska asked that Judge Murphy, my trial judge, be put in control of my post-conviction relief proceeding, which is supposed to investigate Judge Murphy's actions during my trial. And I'm sitting there going, huh? Yeah,
oh, God.
That's pretty surprising, isn't it?
No,
well,
kidding.
I say, well, how can this judge be asked to investigate herself? So I file a motion to get rid of her. She denies it, says, no, I can impartially investigate myself. And
hold on,
you need to get going again or not?
The hour, David. Hold on just a minute. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. 9543. Thank you.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello there. Oh, we're back. I've got David Hague on the line. Sorry, I hit the mute button here. This judge is such of great character and such a great liar that she can investigate herself. Continue on. This story is just, you can't make this stuff up. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway, luckily, after I filed the motion to get rid of Judge Murphy from investigating herself, there's a statute in the state that says if they deny that, it must be reviewed by an independent judge. And this is where I got one of a little bit of a lucky break. A Superior Court judge named Stephanie Joannides was assigned to review Judge Murphy's refusal to disqualify herself. Well, Judge Joannides asked me, "Mr. Hague, give me any evidence, any and all evidence you have that Judge Murphy should not, be now your post-conviction relief judge." So I went back to the same four witnesses that I'd given to Marla Greenstein, like a year or year and a half earlier, about Judge Murphy running around with Trooper Gibbons. And when I contacted him, I said, "Hey, I know you told, Marla Greenstein you didn't see the chauffeuring, but I know you did because you were with me when we watched it." Well, every one of those witnesses, and it's proven which witnesses they were because my list to the The Commission on Judicial Conduct lists them, and it's date-stamped as received by the commission. Every one of the witnesses who Marla Greenstein had said she'd contacted and who hadn't seen the chauffeuring now swore out affidavits that they had never been contacted by Marla Greenstein, you know, the only investigator judges for 28 years, and that they all remembered seeing the chauffeuring just like I had stated. Well, I gave this information to Judge Joannides. Judge Joannides schedules a two-day evidentiary hearing and allows me to subpoena Judge Murphy. Trooper Gibbons allows me to subpoena Marla Greenstein, the judicial conduct investigator, the prosecutor, all my attorneys, and all the witnesses who Marla Greenstein had falsified contacting. Every single one hire attorneys or file motions to quash their subpoenas, and in addition to what Judge Joannides allowed, Judge Joannides asked Marla Greenstein, the judicial conduct investigator, for Marla Greenstein's investigative report into the chauffeuring of Judge Murphy by Trooper Gibbons. Marla Greenstein refuses to provide that investigative report to Judge Joannides. And like I said, they all lawyer up, and in fact, Judge Murphy and her secretary at the time was David Woodmansey, they hire what is now an Alaska Supreme Court justice to defend them. You know, at the time he wasn't, but he now is, and that's Peter Mawson. He's one of Alaska's. So everybody lawyers up. They won't provide Judge Joannides with the documentation of the investigation. And so, you know, I'm excited. I'm finally going to get a hearing to prove everything, or just at least the stuff, the surrounding what happened with the judge and trooper in my trial. Well, we get up there to Anchorage for this evidentiary hearing, and like an hour before it, Judge Joannides cancels the evidentiary hearing and says that I've already proved that Judge Murphy cannot be the judge of my post-conviction relief. And she says, and by the way, you know, if this all came out during this post-conviction relief proceeding, it would be hard to transfer it over to your post-conviction relief proceeding. What Judge Joannides, the hearing she had was just to determine whether Judge Murphy should preside over the post-conviction relief proceedings. And what Judge Joannides didn't want is for all this evidence to come out in her court when it should come out in the post-conviction relief proceeding. And she says, you're going to get an evidentiary hearing on that. Well, that's where I never have. And that's why I was, you know, pretty upset on December 18th. To the point of being tased, of trying to put in this evidence that's now been certified by Judge Joannides. Because what happened later, you know, after Judge Joannides, scuttled the evidentiary hearing and wrote in a written opinion that I had proved the appearance of impropriety of Judge Murphy at a minimum. In other words, she said that, you know, there may be actual impropriety of them, you know, the trooper talking to the judge about the case, you know, along with riding around with her and whatnot. But anyway, that's, you know, kind of what happened there. Judge Joannides, to her credit, she certified all the transcriptions, all the tape recordings we had made of Marla Greenstein, put them together with the affidavits of all the witnesses, and sent that on to the Department of Law, to the Commission on Judicial Conduct, to the Bar Association, to the Ombudsman, virtually to every agency in this state, because it proved that Alaska's only investigator of judges, and remember, she investigates, she gets about 20 complaints a month. You do 20 complaints a month, times 12 months, times 28 years, and it's in the neighborhood of 7,000 investigations. And I can prove in my investigation she falsified everything, you know, Marla Greenstein. And so Judge Ioannidis did what she could to alert everybody. Not a single agency investigated. Not a single peep out of anybody. And what makes this even more shocking is I filed a bar complaint against Marla Greenstein, the judicial conduct investigator, because she is an attorney. And in my complaint, I said Marla Greenstein falsified an official Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct investigation by claiming she contacted all these witnesses and stating that when she contacted them, none of them seen the chauffeuring, when in fact every witness has now sworn affidavit that they were never contacted and that they all remembered the chauffeuring, just like I complained of. Well, Marla Greenstein, in a verified response, because when you file a bar complaint, the attorney complaining has to respond in a verified response. In the verified response, Marla Greenstein states that she didn't just contact my witnesses, she contacted my trial attorney, Arthur Chuck Robinson. And I think she did so because she knew that I was now going after Chuck Robinson for malpractice, and she believed that he would back up her story. Well, lo and behold, I end up calling Chuck Robinson and later deposing him, and he's now swore under oath that Marla Greenstein never contacted him either, and that even he remembers the chauffeuring happening during my trial. So in other words, this judicial conduct investigator, when she's caught, you know, now to cover up her corrupt investigation, you know, when it goes to the bar, she has to come up at least with one witness who will back up her story. So she comes up with Chuck Robinson. And even Chuck Robinson now denies, you know, that she ever contacted him. So anyway, you know, that's, you know, one issue that I wanted to have an evidentiary hearing on and see the Court of Appeals to deny me an evidentiary hearing on that, you know, during the remand to Judge Morse in Kenai or in Anchorage on December 18th, the Court of Appeals, Ralph, they said that I never brought that up, never gave any details. And there is like 40 pages in my briefing to the Court of Appeals all on what I've told you about Judge, you know, Ioannidis' investigation. And Judge Ioannidis' official certified paperwork is part of what the Court of Appeals has in their hand, given to them by me, and they say I never gave any details enough to have an evidentiary hearing on it.
Oh, my God. I mean,
you understand why I sat there and was tased, Ralph? And why I'll go back and I'll be tased over and over again? Because I'm not going to let Alaska's only investigator of judges falsify investigations to let corrupt judges sit in judgment on we the people. So, I mean, you understand the significance, Ralph, of what's going on?
I do. I've already dealt with her. She is a liar of the highest degree.
Well, I have the evidence that will put her down, and yeah, that evidence will require every investigation that she's done in the past 28 years to be redone.
Right.
And the reason why, you know, the public up here, I think, is getting so upset is it isn't just my case that has been tainted by a corrupt judge. It's been numerous others. But I got one more issue that I would like to get out before I go, and my wife wants us to go watch a movie here, the Star Wars movie. But listen, I want everybody to listen carefully to this also. Is I was wondering why we never got a copy of the map used against me at trial, because my Chuck Robinson had filed a discovery request for anything that would be used against me at trial, along with anything, any recordings of the prosecutor and troopers before trial. And although he had filed that, we had never got a copy of the map. Well, 8 years after my conviction, I finally get a look at the map. The court finally ordered the state to give me a copy, and the state still wouldn't give me a copy, saying it was too expensive to do so. It was like $4 to copy this map. Meanwhile, you know, they'd fine me $20,000, forfeited a $100,000 plane. But they couldn't find the money to copy a map. You couldn't find the $4 to copy this map. So I look at it, and I found out it was an aeronautical chart, which game management units aren't on because it's made for, you know, it's printed by the federal government and not made for guides and hunting in Alaska.
Right.
Well, someone had altered the game management units on it. You know, they hand drew the lines on this aeronautical chart to corruptly make it seem like the wolves that we killed were killed in my guide area and not in game management unit 19D, where the wolf control program was happening. You know, and it, you know, it wasn't in where it was open, but it wasn't where I could legally guide. Well, then we get a recording, a tape recording, of the trooper and prosecutor prior to trial discussing how they had falsified the map to make it seem like the wolves were killed in my guide area.
Wow.
And I file a motion for immediate evidentiary hearing on known false evidence presented to my trial, at my trial, and the judge that was handling it at that time, Judge Bauman, because after Judge Joannides scuttled Judge Murphy, another judge was selected down here in Kenai, and, you know, I have my suspicions of him, and, I mean, there's overwhelming proof that he was covering up for everybody else. But anyway, I filed a motion with him to have an evidentiary hearing on this, and he denied it. He didn't actually deny it. He ruled it as moot. About 2 days after, well, just a couple days after I filed it, he decided my post-conviction relief proceeding against me without ever holding an evidentiary hearing, but he did overturn my sentence. And he said, man, we're going to give you back your airplane. We're going to give you back everything. Well, the rules for post-conviction relief are such that if there's any possibility of relief, you are guaranteed an evidentiary hearing on the issues. Well, what they did is they knew that any evidentiary hearing would prove just blatant corruption by Marla Greenstein, the judicial conduct investigator, would prove blatant corruption of prosecutor Scott Leaders and the trooper conspiring to tamper with evidence before trial. And then, and remember, you know, the trooper testified all the wolves were killed in my guide area and then admitted none of them were. Well, here's his map that goes to the jury during deliberations that shows what? That they're all killed in my guide area. And he knew it had been falsified because him and the prosecutor talked about it before trial. Well, guess what else? The Court of Appeals, Ralph, ruled that I never gave any details of the false map. But the videotape of me at oral argument to the Court of Appeals is on YouTube. And the only physical item I presented to the Court of Appeals during, you know, in-person oral arguments to them is the false map, and I say, here is the map used against me at trial. It was never given to us as required by a discovery request, and 8 years after trial, I find out it's been falsified, and not only that, I get a recording proving or capturing the prosecutor and trooper talking about how they'd falsified it before trial. And so the Court of Appeals, in their ruling, you know, stripping me from bringing this up, you know, in my, you know, they've now remanded it back here at, you know, on December 18th, Ralph, they said I never brought it up. And like I said, on that one, there's like 30 pages of briefing to the Court of Appeals, along with the video of oral argument. And that's why, Ralph, you know, Ralph, you know enough about law that if you, when you find an error, you are obligated to bring it up at the first opportunity, because if you don't, they always claim that you waive your right to bring up that error.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about there?
I do, yeah.
Okay, That's why when I knew that that order from the Court of Appeals remanding it back to Judge Morris there in Anchorage, because I knew and I could prove that that order was fraudulent, that they lied about me not bringing up the chauffeuring of Judge Murphy by Trooper Gibbons, and they lied about me not bringing up that the map had been falsified, and they lied about me not complaining about the discovery request, I was obligated to put my foot down. Because if I didn't, I waived my right to do so. And so now every other hearing, Ralph, guess what I'm going to bring up? You falsified the map. You guys, Judge Murphy was, riding around with the trooper, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. Hold on just a minute. We got to go to break again.
Okay.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Go ahead and finish up your story here so you can go to the movie.
Okay. Well, anyway, this is where it's kind of at, but if anybody wants to help or know more, we'd appreciate that they check into it and do what they can to help. On Facebook, we've got a page called Alaska State of Corruption, and you can actually look at the video of me being tased in Anchorage Court. And then more importantly, on Facebook and on YouTube, I started putting out little videos that are between 10 and 20 minutes long that goes over, I actually film the actual certified evidence from Judge Joannides proving the corruption of Marla Greenstein, and how you find those on YouTube or, you know, on our Facebook page, is there, like, they have the number sign, you know, hashtag number one, evidence pack, packet. And then there's another one, hashtag number two, evidence packet. Number three, evidence packet. Number four, and I'm up to number six, I think. So if people want to actually see the physical evidence, and I went over the actual map or the copy of the map that we finally got, we've asked Alaska's governor and my legislators to start an independent or to form an or produce an independent commission to publicly investigate what we've got. Some people started a petition on change.org, and so everybody that's listening to this, if they just Google change.org and David Hegg, there's a petition that you can sign that's circulating the U.S. right now. And other than that, you know, if people are in Alaska or even outside, they could call, you know, the governor and or Alaska's legislators. And just so that people know, me and all the witnesses went to the FBI with what's going on. And the FBI, at the time, it was Section Chief Colton Seal that we talked to in the Anchorage FBI. He said they're getting more and more complaints of exactly what I've described, that defense attorneys are conspiring with prosecutors and judges to convict their own clients. And he said that, you know, every investigation they did expanded rapidly and implicated nearly everyone. But he also says that because of the separation between, you know, the federal government and state, that they have to let state sovereignty, you know, or state agencies try to police themselves. And so basically they know what's going on, but they say their hands are tied until we exhaust our state remedies. And so we're kind of caught. And that's, you know, one of the reasons I think that it's now 13 and a half years later after all this happened, is the state knows that as long as they keep it active, keep me on the treadmill, the federal government can't come in and prosecute. And so, anyway, I appreciate you having me on, and I'm going to go watch the Star Wars movie with my wife. And, you know, thanks again, Ralph, for your, you know, letting me on the radio.
Okay, well, thanks for hanging in there. You will win before it's over. So,
well, I know. You know, now there are, you know, like I said, there's over 1 million people watch the video, and are now we've got like 30,000 people a week reading the documentation, and, you know, I'm going to win. It just, you know, I'm about wore out. So anyway, thanks again, Ralph, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, enjoy the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I like Star Wars movie. Oh. It was a good one. Okay?
Okay, well, thanks again. Okay, bye.
Okay, thanks, David. Yeah. An amazing story, isn't it? It's the corruption, and I've got even more that I'm going to talk a little bit about the next hour. The whole Alaska court system does not even exist. And all it is are bar members with black robes and bar members that are not black robes, and they're bound by their Rule 5, Rule 64 oaths. They can't do constitutional law, because if they do, they will be out of a job. They will pull their bar cart. So they have to hang together. And that's what David Hegg's up against. We'll be back after the top of the hour.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. at AR Outfitters.